watching me one piece. We are!
Happy birthday, Luffy. Luffy's birthday, and we're celebrating here on We Are Watching One Piece.
We are celebrating Luffy's birthday.
So, Do you think on Luffy's birthday, Franky comes into Luffy's bedroom and does the like Rocky happy birthday Polly thing, but for Luffy? He just rolls in, just like, happy birthday, Luffy.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. You think, I mean, Luffy likes parties, so he probably does care about birthdays.
He probably does.
But he might
maybe
not
that's the
know
one
when
thing
his
he's like
is.
Pro at. I would believe that he doesn't know when his is also. Do you think that's like the one thing he's proactive on? Like he knows like Chopper's birthday is coming up, so he's like, he's very bad at secretly setting it up, but he's like trying to make it seem like he's not setting up a surprise birthday party. Mm-hmm.
I think that that's something that we should get to see is them celebrate a birthday just once. I don't care if it's filler, but they should do it, especially because of how much they like parties and how much Oda likes parties in particular. I'm surprised this never happened, but maybe it just maybe it invites too many questions of just like it, because even the fact that they have birthdays at all makes me wonder, like, do they have the same fucking calendar we do?
Yes,
that's weird.
You know, I think celebrating the birthdays would invite questions of like, what's the passage of time been exactly since we started?
Like more time passed in Wano than like the rest of the like post time skip episodes, I think. But I don't know, the benefit of the suspension of disbelief for comics and anime is who gives a shit?
Yeah. No, thinking about it, I don't know if I've seen like a birthday celebrated in something that wasn't a like slice of life comedy thing.
Yeah, we need more shonen birthdays. What's up guys? Especially like if it's gonna happen in one, it feels like One Piece because parties are so pivotal.
I know there's a, before they go to fight Cell at the Cell Games, there's a filler episode where they celebrate Gohan's like 12th birthday.
That's a start,
because I believe that's he's like 12 or 13 when he fights Cell, and they celebrate his birthday in a filler episode.
And then he fucking gets beaten to shit.
He gets his arm fucked up, and his dad tries to kill him.
One day I'll watch Dragon Ball Z. I've been reading original Dragon Ball.
Hell yeah.
And I like that little man, Goku. I don't think he should have ever gotten taller.
I agree. I think that's what they're doing for the new series, where they're all turned into little guy mode.
Mm-hmm.
But we're here to talk about Luffy.
Yeah. I did see, I was at Target, they had Dragon Ball Z pajama pants with little chibi Gokus on them. And I was like, I can tell this is adult Goku that's been chibi-fied and not baby Goku. So I don't want it. Wrong Goku. They should put baby Goku in Fighter Z. I don't think they did.
GT Goku is where that's when he gets wished to be a kid.
Close enough. Seems like it would be harder to fight him because he's tinier.
It's like defenses. A Yoda in Soul Calibur 4.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, I remember that. That was a big deal. Anyways, yeah, this is a Luffy podcast where we celebrate Luffy's birthday once a year. And
happy birthday, Luffy.
Nothing else. And also Karl Marx.
Happy birthday, Karl Marx. You would have loved One Piece, probably.
I would think he would like Luffy in particular. They should collab, link up. But no, we actually have two episodes to cover on our stupid recap podcast that we do. I feel like we take about as many breaks as the actual anime does now. Because we are like
real life is.
Yeah, I was like, we're going to be taking a break in like another 3 weeks, so, because I'm going to be in Portland and we are not recording together.
No, you're like leaving the day we could record, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll just pop in a real quick podcast before I get on my plane, but no big deal.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about 1102 and 1103, where last time we left off with Luffy beating Lucci.
Yeah.
And then it was just like, well, he's definitely not dead. He seems to be pretty fine, but Luffy left. But unfortunately, Lucci will still be here, and some other stuff will go on. And these episodes, you know, sometimes I'm like, oh, we can move a little bit faster when we have two episodes, because it'll be easier to take up the whole episodes. I think these are, like, I don't know, these Egghead episodes are just pretty dense with information.
Yeah, they are.
So we'll see how long it ends up being, but this first episode, 1102, there's no recap. It does start with Kuma flying through the sky, which we're now fully in the weekly effect where I'm like, oh yeah, almost forgot about him.
I forgot about that. He like launched himself.
Yeah, he pushed himself backwards and he's flying to, we're going to find out, the port underneath Marie Joie. It has a name. I didn't write it down. At the bottom of the red line that we saw, what? I guess the Reverie arc? Gosh, how long ago was that we covered that?
A lifetime ago.
Yeah, pre-Wano, so. But anyways, that's where he's going. We'll find out, I think the end of this episode or something. Oh, it's before the eye catch is when. Yeah, he's just in the mix here. We go back to Egghead, though, where, if you remember last time, Sentomaru fucking murked.
Yep, he's done.
Fucking rip. He's or at least unconscious, but looks pretty dead. Kaku is standing on their corpse, presumably, taunting it. And Lucci's like, kind of been sick of the Vegapunk situation. I don't even really know why. It's not made entirely. Later in this episode or the next episode, Vegapunk's like, they're really convinced I'm going to turn on them, and I don't know why. I'm not planning on it. Which is just funny to me.
They've seen the horrors that Caesar Clown has done, and they're like, oh, we can't.
I feel like they would be pro that. Like, if Vegapunk gets, you know, spirited away and Luffy successfully saves him, wouldn't they just be like, all right, well, I guess we gotta employ Caesar now. He'll just be he's the more evil version. Not nearly as successful at any of his stupid ideas. But I don't know. That's my assumption of the Navy is that they, or the world government, is that they want the more evil things. Whereas with Vegapunk, you could arguably see a good utilization of some of his science, even though he makes like RoboCops all the time. You gotta stop making RoboCops, dude. The message of RoboCop was don't make RoboCop. Yeah, so Lucci's complaining about Vegapunk being a thorn in his side, and he's like, I'm gonna go inside and fight everybody. I want to go kill him now. And it's not in this scene, it's later, where Stussy's like, oh, so you're not going to listen to your orders of waiting for the Navy? And Luffy's like, no, because I don't think that Luffy's really an emperor. I don't actually buy it. So it doesn't count.
I closed my eyes and plugged my ears and I didn't see it or hear it, so it doesn't count.
I missed the news that week and no one told me. You're not telling me right now. Vegapunk is back up in the lab talking to most of the Straw Hats, the Frankie, Usopp, Nami, Robin. Who else is it? Sanji? I think that's everyone who's there. Nami's like, shouldn't you be too valuable for them to kill you? And he's like, you'd think. And he just like lists off like everything he's ever made. And then says, and more afterwards.
I figured out so much stuff for them.
Yeah, which is why the idea of me turning against them is so scary, even though I have no intentions of doing it. But he's like, it must be fate that you all showed up. And they're like, oh, wait, you're joining the crew? Frankie pogs out. Usopp pogs out. Nami's like, no, that sucks. Aren't we wanted enough? I do wonder, like, they're like, oh, CP0 would be after us. And I'm like, aren't they already? Like, Robin's in your crew? Isn't that the whole point of that arc? Is that you're like, I don't care who's after us. And also your emperor's like, I do wonder, like, you can't interact with an emperor without permission. Would Vegapunk being there outweigh that? What would the actual balance be? But it doesn't matter, I suppose. At least not yet. So, yeah, Nami disagrees that he shouldn't join. It's not worth the risk. Robin's like, don't really have a choice. Yeah. They have our ship. Also worth pointing out that Sanji at this point is like, I agree with Nami. Fuck this old man. And then later he'll be like, oh, that means Lilith's coming? This is fine.
You know, I don't know if I pointed this out before, but when he said that, I was looking and it's like, she looks like she could be related to him. she looks...
Oh, Lilith?
She just needs the eyebrows and she fits in with the Vince Smoke family. All of them have like the comb over hair. Her outfit looks like kind of like a Jirma outfit.
Yeah, I guess the only reason, yeah, the bodysuit. The only reason I don't really see it is because none of the other Vince Smokes are blonde. It's probably, but I'm like, oh, I guess Sanji is. Let me look up a picture of Sanji's mom. Kinda, I guess you could see Lilith growing into Sora. So good point. I don't know.
She has the same exact hairstyle as Sanji also.
Maybe Sanji's into that. I don't know. Maybe post Sanji and Lilith on the Instagram account, what siblings are dating. You could do that with a lot of One Piece characters, because that's just kind of Oda's problem with drawing women.
Yeah.
Fucking Vivi and Nami siblings are dating. No choice, Robin says. And we go to somewhere else in the lab where I guess the vacuum rocket arrived. Because Atlas is being, like, looked at by little robo-helper guys. And then Bonnie charges in, like, where the fuck is Vegapunk? I'm gonna kill him. And Luffy's following her for a while. Eventually, he loses track of her. Bonnie thinks that the bug swarm was an intentional attack by Vegapunk, which is funny. I actually kind of forgot about the bug swarm, too. I forgot why she was unconscious. But I see Lucci, and I'm just like, oh, nothing else matters, I guess. I don't even like that guy that much, but the fight's great. Everyone's like, I don't think that's why the bugs attacked, but she's like, if that was his response to me asking about my dad, I'm gonna kill him. So she's running off after that, and in the next episode Luffy will lose track of her. But also we see that the Seraphim are now listening to CP0, and he says that he's like, all right, he knows that he took care of Atlas. And he's like, so there's 6 other satellites, including Vegapunk, to take care of, which the other satellites call original Vegapunk Stella. I don't know if that came up in previous episodes.
Yeah, I was able to, like, figure out what they were saying because I did not remember this, but I was like, oh, that's fun.
I only really remember it because it's because the manga has been around for so long. Like, it's I've had far more time to get used to it. But, like, even watching this episode, I'm like, did they say that they call him that? Has that been mentioned? Like, it's partly just because, like, it was said probably, like, a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
But they call him Stella, the original one. I don't know if there's probably some reason, like, what that means. But regardless, Lucci says that they're going to destroy all the ships. They want to control, they want to, like, shut down all means of escape from the island, which... The Sunny is not down there, so they don't find the Sunny. Or at least not yet. They find the Sunny in the next episode. Elsewhere, this is where we see Kuma arriving at the port, at the base of the Red Line. He smashes into the fucking wall and falls down, and everyone's like, holy shit, that's Kuma. And then he gets up, and they run away, and he starts climbing the fucking wall.
Yeah, that's probably...
how do you feel about this? Work out.
He's determined.
What do you think he's determined about? He was just here. He was rescued by the Revolutionary Army from Marijua. Pre-Wano, we didn't really know if they were successful. But as soon as we're out of Wano, they're like, he was successful. We have him safe at the fucking queendom. And he's like, I gotta go back. Why?
If I didn't watch... today's episode, I would still think he's going to the same place. I feel like he is just trying to get himself to Egghead somehow. But if I just watched this episode, I'd be like, oh, probably knows like his daughter's there or something. But now I think he wants to, it's something with that, what we saw at the end of 1103.
Oh yeah, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess we don't need to jump ahead, but what the fuck is that?
A giant paw orb.
Paw orb. Is that it? Wait, is it? Is he? Does he have the paw fruit because she calls him Papa? I'm piecing this together.
You're on something.
I've locked in. Yeah, he gets scary red eyes for a moment. It's funny that someone, like, when they're evacuating this port town, someone does mention, like, we don't know what the fuck he's programmed to do. Like, they're aware that he's a robot and that he used to be a slave, and they're just like, what the fuck is he up to? We don't know. Shit. So that's funny. Yeah, he actually doesn't start climbing the wall until I think the next episode, but anyways, there's the eye catch. Afterwards, we go back to CP0. They seem to have very quickly gotten control over all of the escape routes. This is where Lucci's like, he's not a real Yonko, fuck him, I don't have to listen to the rules, I decided. We go back up to the lab where we see that all of these satellites have now gathered. Lilith is, like, grabbing a gun, which looks like a cartoon. It looks like a gun you'd see in, like, Kingdom Hearts. Everything here is so cartoony and goofy looking. Like, a blunderbuss, but It's like red and yellow and has like stars on it. And she's like, let's avenge Atlas. Let's fucking go. And they're like, no, we're not fighting them. We're trying to escape. But I guess that's going to involve a little bit of fighting. So she's like, let's fucking go. Then I'm going to shoot everyone. And they're like, not mindlessly. No mindless fighting. Intentional fighting. But yeah, so everyone's here. Shaka's doing a lot of the talking. Let's see. Edison and Pythagoras have a bit later where when Vegapunk makes a vague phone call. York is also just here eating. They've now grown, like, what? Who knows how many times in size since we last saw them. Yeah. They're probably building up for their, like, poop of the day.
Yeah.
So they're just there off in the corner, not contributing whatsoever. Yeah.
Just to be there for, like, this seed, and then, like, they go to something else and they cut back. She's just gone again.
Yeah, where'd she go? Maybe to go poop. But yeah, so the Straw Hats have been moved to another room. And, oh, there's a line where Sanji's like, if you're really on our side, unlock our fucking feet. And then I guess they do, because they're, the next time you see them, they're fine.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's just funny to be like, you still haven't unlocked our feet. But now we see the Straw Hats are in another room. They're wondering where Luffy and Jinbei and Chopper are. I guess they're, I don't know, I guess they're not even worried about Zoro and Brook, who I also kind of forgot about briefly. But I'm like, oh yeah, they're not here. You see them in their egghead clothes in the eye catch in the opening. So it's like, oh, they still haven't changed clothes yet. Also, I think if it weren't for the opening and knowing how One Piece works, you might wonder, are they not going to, based on how this arc is going?
Yeah.
Maybe they don't get the outfits. But anyways, before the episode ends, Vegapunk, first Vegapunk says, oh, I have one more secret ally I'm going to call.
Yeah.
To help us. There's not enough going on in this arc.
There's one other person here, and the...
Yeah, here, they say, notably.
His satellites go, well, we don't want to put them in danger like we did Sentomaru. And then he's already calling them on the phone.
Already on the phone.
Being like, hey, can you help save my life?
And he's like, yeah, they're like, don't beg for your life. And you do hear the person's voice. I don't know if, I mean, I don't recognize it on its own. It's like,
I don't either.
It's put through like a bit more of a like phone filter than I think you usually hear. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. I mean, they already were using she pronouns. It's a woman's voice. I mean, I don't know what you think, but.
I was trying to figure out, because like the voice was distorted enough that's like, I can't tell if it's a woman or if it's someone who just like has more of a higher voice like Kobe.
Mm.
I have
also
a feeling.
Comes up soon.
I don't recognize the voice, but the way they're building it up feels like it might be someone we know, but I can't fucking think of who it could be.
Who could it be? I don't know.
If I have one call, the person my brain went to is like Khalifa, because she knows this. She was in CP9, and those people are there, and she's someone we already know. But I don't know what she would. I guess she could like be there to keep Vegapunk like on task, like. Make sure he's getting stuff done instead of going off and just doing whatever comes to him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, you know, it's kind of intentionally vague.
Yeah.
And
I thought for sure the next episode would tell me who it is. No.
Yeah, no, it doesn't come around yet. So I guess I also was wondering if it would come up, because this isn't something, this is legitimately something I don't remember. Like I have skimmed the manga as it's come out. And I'm just like, I don't know, this is something I couldn't tell you, legitimately. What else happens in this episode? Oh, Vegapunk does go and talk to the Straw Hats. And this is where he's like, oh, all of my satellites are coming, by the way. Where Nami complains, like, oh, it's not just you who's dead weight. We have all these other robots. So I'm like, the robots are clearly more valuable. Like, we've seen we saw Atlas fight and then also die. And yeah. Lilith can clearly do some shit. I don't know. They can probably do some shit with Frankie stuff. I don't know. They have value, I'm sure. But then this is where Sanji's like, oh, Lilith's coming? I'm on board now. This is great. Rolling out the red carpet. We see that Luffy's still chasing Bonnie. And this is when, so the lab phase, it hasn't come up yet in this episode, but there's a defense system, like, screen around it, protecting it. Kaku flew into it, like, I don't know, a month ago. and fell down. And suddenly it's been shut down. Who did that? Why? We don't know. So there's, what is it, Lilith looking to see if there's an intruder in, like, the building with them, but it doesn't say. There's, like, no one else in there. There's, like, no unauthorized people. So that's, I don't know, what if you have any thoughts on that.
Everything's scary.
Okay, fair enough. Outside, Lucci's like, I think, what if it's a trap? And Cocker's like, who cares? I kind of wish it was a trap, and he fell down and got fucking zapped again by the bug zapper. But no, Kaku goes up there, everyone follows. They see the Thousand Sunny sitting outside the lab. Lucci's like, what if we should destroy that boat? That's why we didn't find it earlier.
Yeah, it's there.
And they try that at the beginning of the next episode. And then we go back to, we check on Kizaru, who we also haven't checked in on in like, what, a month probably. But we did know he was on his way. But he somehow now knows that Vegapunk is teaming up with Luffy. And he's like, well, we're still going. Just, again, there's not enough going on at Egghead. Nope. What if some more scary people showed up?
Hey, what if Kizaru shows up and is like, I'm fighting the war on Luffy,
mm-hmm.
on the side of Luffy.
That'd be pretty sick. Speaking of people who should defect from the Marines and join Luffy. Where the fuck is Smoker?
Where is he?
If everyone else is
he's
coming back.
He's babysitting now. He's babysitting with Tashigi now.
That's true, yeah.
He's not the stepdad. He's the dad who stepped up to 90 gigantic children.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't actually seen him there. But I think we've only seen Tashigi. No, next time we're going to see him, he's like, I transferred to Impel Down so I could get someone to trans my gender. I had too much of an awakening at Punk Hazard. We have not seen him, I don't think, since Punk Hazard. I just, you know, unrelated. But the oh no, what if more scary people showed up at Egghead just seems to keep being the MO of the whole arc. Like, okay, what if this happened? And you're like, okay, I guess. Kizaru's on his fucking way. But that's the end of the episode. At the end, Punk Records, Lilith and Edison are like, here's Kizaru in case you forgot who that is, which I didn't, so but thank you. they should do it for like Whoop Slap, someone who's really forgettable.
I wanted to edit the like subtitle file in the file to say this is Kizaru. He's portrayed by Adam Sandler.
They gotta get him for the Netflix. It'd be like half their budget probably.
And he would shoot it at home on a green screen.
Yeah. Or he'd be like, all right, only one deal, though, because he's got to be good at basketball. If he gets to hoop, it's fine. Also, that's the other thing. I don't think Sandler's actually tall enough to adequately beat Kizaru. Because Kizaru could hoop. Sandler hoops, but maybe, I don't know how successful. I think he has a limit. He has Netflix deals. They have a connection. 11:03, Kaku's like, all right, gonna fuck up the sun. He like break dances, even though he's floating in the sky right now. And he does a big Tempest kick. And it, like, wakes... Simply the attack flying towards the ship wakes Zoro up from sleeping. And he counters the attack. Brook also is stepping outside. So these two idiots are here on the boat. Zoro's, like, still waking up when he's like, what did I block? What happened? And he sees Kaku, and Kaku's like, oh, shit, that's Zoro. And Zoro's like, who's that guy? Oh, yeah, that's the giraffe. I remember the giraffe, which my subtitles, he's saying something else like derogatory instead of giraffe that sounds the same. The subtitles, my subtitles anyway, said giraffe.
Yeah, that's what mine said too.
Okay, I'm curious, we're not watching official subs, so I'm curious what the official subs say. Maybe something similar. Certainly don't remember it from Water 7 in Yoslabi, even though they show you flashbacks where he was saying it then, whatever it is. It's like one syllable different.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Zoro's like, all right, well, I guess I'm fighting this guy. After he recognizes him. And you do see, like, a glimpse of them fighting on the screens in the lab.
There's this badass fight, but you don't get to watch it, sorry.
It's very funny that, like, they that was such a big fight, such a big deal for Enya's Lobby. And, like, they did it's the next step, I guess, of Luffy and Lucci have their dramatic reunion, and it's just like kind of goofy. Luffy bodies him and then leaves, does not actually finish fighting him, and now the big reunion of Zoro and Kaku is like basically an accident and it just happening off screen. They're just letting you know it's already started and you're not watching it. Very funny. Good approach to this stuff, which again, it's not really like the point of the arc is not really the reunion of them, or at the very least not yet. So we'll see what happens with them later. I'm sure power scalers will be normal about it.
So we did see Brooke doing the dishes.
Yes.
How often do you think he does the chores? How often does Luffy do the chores?
I don't know that Luffy would. I feel like Luffy, not like weaponized incompetence, but like Luffy's so bad at it that they stopped asking. Sanji probably just does most of them, I imagine.
Oh,
Brooke
yeah.
And Brooke is nice. Maybe Usopp tags in sometimes. I can't really, like, I don't know. Maybe Frankie should have just built, like, a perfect dishwasher at this point. And maybe Brooke's like, I don't know. I got to do it the old-fashioned way. I'm an old man. But I don't know. You could dig into these things for hours, I suppose, if you wanted to. Pythagoras, I think, reactivates the dome, the defense dome, even though, like, now the three agents are inside, so I don't know that it matters. But the number's going back up from zero to, it goes up to 100 eventually, but not in this episode, but it goes up to like 30, I think, as we see it tick back up. Not sure how much the number matters of its efficacy, but calling it out in case it comes up later. Luffy has lost track of Bonnie, but does find the rest of the Straw Hats. So they very quickly get on the same page. They're like, yeah, we know all these things now. And they're like, oh, okay, cool. It's funny because they're like, all right, so we have to escape now with Vegapunk. And Luffy's like, but I wanted to hang out here longer. You just fought Lucci. Probably like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. And he's like, oh, but I wanted to hang out longer. I thought I was done with that. I already forgot. I don't know. It didn't matter.
Look, that was the other guy who did that. Not me.
Yeah. Yeah, so they get on the same page. Other people are just like, yeah, we want to stay longer too, but too fucking bad.
Shit's bad.
We gotta go. And he asks if they saw Bonnie. They say no. Wait a minute, where's Vegapunk? And then we see that Vegapunk is now running away from Bonnie, who is trying to kill him. Keeps asking, can you fix my father? And he's like, no, I actually can't. And she's like, okay, well then you have to fucking die. And he barely escapes by doing a pratfall down the stairs. Even when, like, these episodes are dense and everything, the stakes should be so high, it's maintained being very stupid and goofy in a way that I appreciate.
It's impressive that they're able to, like, accomplish it and it not just feel like a tonal nightmare.
It is genuinely a miracle. I'm curious how much of it, like Toei's done a really good job of adapting it from the manga as well. I'm curious with future things coming up where I'm like, the stakes are only going to get heavier and heavier, like basically by the episode.
Yeah.
And I wonder, and like, Luffy's not going to get more serious, I don't think. Maybe a little bit, but Gear 5 is by design the goofiest fucking shit in the world, so.
It's gonna make those bigger fights feel thing. It's gonna be like a breath of fresh air for like shonen fights. It's like you still get the levity, and he can still do really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's the other part of it too. Is like I think it's going to make Zoro and Sanji's fights even more special because they're going to be where you get that.
Yeah,
as opposed to like all of the fights being serious, like. Zoro and Sanji will not be cartoon characters in the same way that that Gear 5 Luffy is. I also wonder if we'll ever see the other, like, Gear 4s and stuff again. Like, considering how much he tires himself out with Gear 5, there might be some advantage of that. But, like, Gear 5 is such this, like, peak where he's, like, hitting harder than Gear 4 ever did and faster than Snake Man ever was that I'm like, are they just fully irrelevant now?
That's a good point, because he doesn't gear him doing like gear 2 and 3 is just like part of his moveset now instead of like an actual form.
Yeah, he doesn't really need to go out of his way to get super fast or to make himself big.
Yeah, they're just like part of attacks now. He doesn't approach fights exactly like Goku does, because like they give some sort of. They still have some of the, like, Super Saiyan forms because, like, Goku doesn't want to go too far in a fight and end it too quickly or anything because he has fun fighting. So he's like, he's not going to ramp up to Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan within the first couple minutes. So but we're also presented like Lucci-sama is like, hey, show me why you were white. I want to know why you were white.
Yeah, and also, I think, if this were, I mean, I don't know, if it were, like, the big buildup of the arc was them fighting against each other, would it build up differently, or would he also still go straight to Gear 5? Or maybe he goes straight to Gear 5, tires out, does some other stuff, and then goes back to Gear 5 for the ending of the fight? I don't know. That's not what's happening. I don't know. I'm just curious. When and if we'll see Gear 4 stuff ever again. But yeah, 2 and 3 are just, they're just commonplace now.
Yeah.
But anyways, he's a goofy man. Anyways, after the eye catch, though, in this episode, we start with a flashback. Vegapunk is discussing the birth of someone, and he's like, this person's birth will lead to more peace or something. I suppose you can assume from the context of what it's cut in between who he's talking about, but it doesn't come up again in this episode. Because back in the present, we see that he is hiding from Bonnie, but she is now a young child crying on the ground. Because I guess, I don't know, she fell down the stairs. He runs over. It was a trap.
big surprise.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
can't believe she's doing the thing that's kind of like what she did the first time we ever saw her.
Yeah. Look, if you could take advantage of it.
Absolutely. It's a good trick.
Also, I realized in this episode that her power is... her power is about to get way more fucking complicated in the next 2 seconds. But
it's really cool.
It's like, I'm like, oh, this is just Shinobu's power, but good. She has way more control over it.
Yeah.
Because Shinobu ages things. She seems to be able to age up and down and also in hypothetical fucking situations.
Yeah.
She says distorted future, and she ages herself up, but... buff. So she's like
basically built like her dad.
Yeah, so she, I mean, it doesn't get explained, but like you can sort of extrapolate, like giving herself a hypothetical future when she ages herself opens up so many fucking questions.
That's so good.
It's so fucking insane. She just does it here to make herself buff to extra beat up Vegapunk, but like how far can this go? What like different possible timelines could she explore with her age fruit? Don't know. Doesn't come up right now. But she stabs Vegapunk. She's using like a pipe she found, but like her power extends through it. She stabs Vegapunk with it and turns him into a baby. And not only does she turn him into like, it's like a toddler or a child or whatever, but like a bunch of like shiny gems fall out of him, which seem to represent, which he actually directly says this, they represent the years that fell out of him, which we've never seen before when she's, I guess, we've seen her de-age people and it's never looked like this.
Yeah, there seemed to be something about this attack that was a little different.
Yeah, it does seem different. I don't know to what extent, because she still says that like her effects on living people aren't permanent. So I don't know, like, does it stay permanent if he never gets the gems back? I don't know.
he this is the biggest reveal that he is a platformer character.
Yeah, I don't know. He has to get the gems, Bentley Bear or something. But it's not permanent. But yeah, she's like, okay, so what's the reason that Kuma can't be fixed? It's like, why did you basically kill him? And he's like, I can't tell you. It would hurt you also. I promise not to. We cut back and forth between this scene and Kuma climbing the red line. And he's like, I promise you it was Kuma's idea. People are trying to shoot him down off the red line. It doesn't work. Then an alarm sound goes off in the laboratory and Bonnie goes to check it out. She makes a face, which I'm like, does she recognize the sound or something? But she goes and Vegapunk's like, no, don't go behind the door with the giant paw symbol. It's totally not related to Kuma. And she's like, I don't believe you. Goes inside. Finds, a giant paw-shaped orb. What the fuck is that about? I don't know. Yeah. Episode's over. It's not, but...
It's similar to the, it's kind of like the big pain orb that happened to Zora.
Yes, it does look like a big pain orb, but it's orange. It doesn't, you can't see anything. It just looks like a solid orange thing right now. You don't see anything inside of it. There's a visual similar to this in the opening as well.
I'm thinking it's an incubator of some kind.
Yeah, who fucking knows, man? I don't know.
It's filled with LCL.
Yeah, that's it. You have to pilot the Kuma, or Bonnie will have to do it again. But anyways, that's the end of the... We cut away to other stuff for the rest of the episode. Because, again, there's not enough stuff going on right now in One Piece. We need to see first Kid arrive at fucking Elbaf.
Yeah.
And then we go to a Navy base for a bunch of other shit.
Yeah, why is Kid at Elbaf? Why does he get to go to Elbaf before Usopp?
Because that's the direction he picked, I guess, from,
It's not fair.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things pointing towards Luffy's gonna go there soon. Haven't we had enough of Kid? Why has Kid gotta go there? Yeah. I thought he was done, but maybe, I don't know. I'm sure we'll check up on him again before too long, because he's also in the opening. Then we go to the Navy base, G-14, where some stuff happens before the end of the episode. Doll, who's a newish character, she's just been introduced, like, since Wano, Oda's newest, like, goth babe or whatever. She's on the phone with Garp, and she's like, you can't take more of my soldiers, I'm about to go to Egghead. Because, again, we're not enough people are at Egghead. And Garp's like, too fucking bad, I gotta go somewhere with an emperor, and she's like, do you have permission? He's like, I don't. Do I need that? Who fucking cares? Nobody cares about these emperor rules. Why do they exist? And the answer is to characterize the people who are ignoring them. Garp is attacking someplace else with an emperor, which by the end, that's obvious by the end of this episode. Anyway, inside you see Helmeppo and what's her name crying. I don't remember her name, but they're crying over Kobe not being here. Garp arrives at the base and he's like, Helmeppo, where the fuck are you? And he goes to the window and cries and he's like, Kobe was caught by Blackbeard. Blah, 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 blah. And Garp's like, shut up, idiot. We're going to go get him. And that's the end of the episode. And the Punk Records reminder is Kid, in case you forgot about who he was, which is a very funny one. So close to Wano. But I guess it's just like, here's some of the other shit he did, in case you forgot. Like, here's how he lost his arm. He went up against Shanks and Big Mom and all this other stupid shit. Because he's a fucking moron. But yeah, so big scary orb. Kid's going to Elbaf. Garp's going to go try and save Kobe from Blackbeard. Nothing else is going on, though. Kizaru, Kuma's climbing the wall. Forgetting anything? Probably. Very likely that there's other stuff I'm not remembering going on right now.
There's too much happening. Everything happens all the time.
Everything happens all the time. Do the kids know about horsey books?
I don't think so.
That's a whole episode on its own. That's our next bonus episode, as we talk about do the kids know about horsey books. But that's the end of this episode. They shouldn't. Blackbeard's horse stronger should just say horsey books quotes. That's my end of that bit. It's the end of this episode. We're gonna do our plugs, and then Jory's gonna predict what happens next time. Which, again, a lot of fertile ground. You could go a lot of you could do your own distorted future. Actually, that's it. You're always correct, and that's how you're always correct, as your power is just like doing a possible timeline where these things happen.
Yeah, that's
it all connects.
To quote a terrible movie I watched the other night, you dig on multiverses?
I'm surprised that's not a line from like fucking Everything Everywhere All at Once.
A little bit.
I'm so sick of multiverses, bro. That's the end of this episode. We're going to do our plugs. Jory, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me online on Twitter. I'm Jory anywhere where you get Jory content, except for Blue Sky, where I'm Jory.zone. You can get pictures of my dog.
Where do I sign up for the Jory newsletter?
You know, that would be a very funny bit.
And then it's just every month, nothing really going on right now.
I'm Jory.
Yeah, I'm chilling.
There was a while ago where the main email I use for stuff apparently is already registered on OnlyFans, because I think I must have made an account in like 2017 or 18. Because it has like an old profile picture and Twitter header, and I can't get access to it. But I was going to have it be like $5, and it's just like a single picture of me with holding like a Crystal Pepsi. Like, classic. Why'd you pay money for this?
That's the good content right there.
Where can we find you online?
Well, I'm also on various social media sites. Ghost of Joe, Ghost of J-O is where you're going to find me at any of those places. Twitter, Blue Sky, etc. My Kickstarter's finished.
Yeah.
It was funded.
Hit the goal.
It's very exciting. So that's, I mean, not really a plug. If you backed, thanks. And there will be updates there. But other than that, I mean, I really don't have anything to plug. We're still waiting on the film to actually hit rental services. So I'll probably mention when it does. But until then, I don't really got anything to plug. But you can follow me if you want to and keep track of whatever else might be going on. So for this podcast, though, you can follow the Twitter We Are Watching OP, where we are still using that website for some reason. And because no one's using the other one and it's still not good for promotion, you can support us on Patreon.
Yeah.
Patreon.com/WeAreWatchingOP. Give us $1 a month or more if you want to. But $1 a month will unlock you these episodes a little bit early. I put them up Sundays as opposed to the Monday usual release. They're also ad-free when we do our longer ad breaks once a month. We also do monthly bonus episodes. Last month we finished up the Boss Luffy stuff. I don't know what we're doing this month because it just started, but we'll figure it out. We've got probably some of the like 40-minute specials I think we're going to start doing now because we haven't. All over there at Patreon. We also shout out the names of all of our patrons, which we'll do here in a minute. I could not tell you who did it 2 weeks ago.
I think it's my turn.
Okay, cool. I'm choosing to believe that's true. So Jory will shout out the names of all of our patrons here in a minute. And another way you can support us is to get some snacks delivered to your door. That's a win-win.
Yeah.
But we are partnered/sponsored by Tokyo Treat and Sakura Co. Two great curated snack, Japanese snack treat boxes that can arrive monthly to your door. We do longer ad breaks for them, you know, once a month. Right now, I had the Ninja snack box from Tokyo Treat, and the Sakura Co. theme was Flavors of Hakone.
Yeah.
So more centered into like a location where some of the snacks come from. Both great stuff. We have videos of the boxes up on Twitter if you want to check those out. And also, you can get $5 off your first box if you use our link and our code. That'll all be in the show notes as well. But team.tokyotreat.com/watchingonepiece or team.sakura.co/watchingonepiece with code JORYJO. JORYJO, all caps, no space, JORYJO. Get you $5 off your first box of either of them. Maybe both of them. I don't. If you try it and tell us if you can do both, but because that's $10 off then. So
yeah, and you get two boxes of snacks.
Yeah, which you should do because they're great. But anyway, that's it. That's it for our plugs, I suppose. So, Jory, if you want to shout out some of our patron names.
All right. Thanks to all of our patrons on this glorious Luffy birthday. Thank you to someone used Unicode characters to make a face.
What's the face look like?
It looks like someone like just like staring.
Oh,
with
yeah,
a smile. That's this
you've
one.
Probably seen it before. I've
yeah,
seen it. It's yeah. He's
I do,
looking.
I do recognize the person doing it, so thank you. A to Z couple, Adam B, Adam W, Alex, Ali, Anton, Ashlyn, Becca, Blue Sunrise, Brittany, Captain Moke, Chad, Chance, Connor, David A, David D, Deus Aqueous, Eric V, Fig, Forrest Fooney, Gage, Heidi, Jay Harkins, Jacob, Jesse, Jehost of Go. Jiminy's Journal, Jojo Ree's Bizarre Adventures, Joe, Jominy, Junesong 91, Cat, Kevin, KOF, Kyle, Lena B, Lucas, Luke, Maddie, Maggie, Mag, Twisera, Mallory, Melbeast, Milo, Monkey D, Dragon, D's Nuts on Your Chin, Morgan, my buddy, Nick, No, I'm Joe.
Oh, shit.
Optimus Jory reporting for duty, Jory Bots Rollout. Peter, Phoenix Ryu, Riley, Rob Luucci, Rodsters, Roger, Ryan, Ryan W, Scryde, Snowy Scale, Space Jockey, Stephen D, Stephen R, Tangle Clappin, The Cat Fangs, The Seraphimbofication of the Warlords.
Yeah.
The Lost Crab Rangoon, Trave, Take Verdigris, we are watching one bussy, your boy, and Zee-ha-ha, my buggy bussy has awakened. You know, I think I've said bussy more in, I can't remember when people started doing this. I think it's been like about around the time we caught up, I think it's when this started.
Yeah.
I think I've said it more since then than I've even ever read or thought the word. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, it's really been a life-changing experience, this podcast. Imagine how few times you would have said bussy in your life. And for that, we're thankful. So thank you again to everybody supporting us on Patreon. Also, I forgot to plug Discord, but you can join our Discord if you haven't. There's a link in the show notes. Come talk about the insane new Kaido Big Mom card that if you play it, you win. Whatever else is going on in the Discord, there's always something. Hang out, and I think that's all of our stuff to plug. So we will see you next week with the next episode. For that, so Jory, I guess it's just time for you to use your distorted future, or a totally real future, I guess is what we should call it, of what's going to happen next time on One Piece.
What's going to happen next time is Zoro is going to get lost fighting Kaku, and he's gonna end up fighting Lucci somehow, and we're going to get the big battle between them, even though Zoro still thinks he's fighting Kaku.
he just lost between people.
Yes, once he gets in the battle, he starts to get like face blindness, and he just sees the like white coats, and he's like, ah, this is the same guy I was fighting. Because he gets like blasted through a big building, and then he comes back and he's like, it's probably the same guy.
Yeah. And then, okay, so then does he think he bodies him? You think he still wins?
See, he's gonna struggle deciding if he should win, or if this is still a fight for Luffy to win again.
That's after he realizes that it's not Kaku. Or he just, how long does it go being like, there's something different about this guy? I thought he was a giraffe. Well, that's all true. Zoro's gonna fight Lucci next time on One Piece. And I guess that's it.
That's all. It's going to get a big, big budget episode fight.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see all that next time. And until then,
to be continued.